Our Family Matters segment takes us to Europe today, but the guest on the other end of the Zoom call is South African. Michaela Beckers is a teacher currently living in Poland with her husband and toddler son. And I've asked her to join us today because of a blog post she recently shared describing their family's decision not just to limit screen time for their child, but to remove it entirely. And I was really intrigued by what she described about what happened next and the changes she observed in her child's behaviour and how quickly they happened. I really thought it was worth sharing these insights with you today. So, Michaela, it's lovely to have you joining us from afar, and welcome to Cape Talk.
Good afternoon, Pippa, and all Cape Talk listeners. It's an honour and a privilege to speak to you today.
Thank you, and thank you so much to your dad, Noel, for helping to connect us. Michaela, before we talk about the screen time issue, won't you just tell us a little bit more about how a girl from Cape Town finds herself in Poland?
So, I was a teacher for 7 years in China.
Yeah.
And due to the pandemic, I made my way to Poland. As the borders were closed in China, we moved to Europe. My husband, being from Romania, was a perfect decision for us as a family. And now I'm moving on to Doha in July. So
clearly a family who loves to travel. And I would imagine, Michaela, that in circumstances of long distance travel in particular, it's one of those circumstances in which many people would reach for a tablet or a screen, hand it to a child and say, keep yourself busy. It's going to be a long car trip. But I'm really fascinated to hear more from you about the alternative model. So your son, Luca, is how old as we speak?
He's 3 tomorrow.
3 tomorrow. Happy birthday in advance to Luca. Okay.
Thank you.
And it was about early March this year, I think, you decided that you were going to take the step of cutting screen time out of his life. What led to that decision? Yes. Michaela, were you struggling with something? Did you feel like it was getting out of hand, or was it out of mere curiosity?
Well, it started when, I was pregnant. I read an interesting book by Roxanne Atkinson.
Yes.
Called The Unicorn Baby. And at the end of her book, she has a short little segment on, you know, raising children with technology. And she says very clearly there that for the first 2 years of their life, it's important for them to have no exposure to screens. So I did that quite well. My son didn't have any screen time until 2 years old. But slowly screen time crept into our lives, you know, when we went grocery shopping, when we were in a restaurant, and it started turning into he could sit on the phone for an hour, 2 hours without a worry. He could flick through YouTube, he could skip the ads. And This bothered me. I always kind of felt this parent guilt of him navigating the technology on his own. And just one day, myself and my husband, we shook hands and we said, that's it. No more screen time, no phone, no iPad, no TV, none of it.
Okay, now obviously as a teacher, you've had lots of experience of observing children in their feral state, if we can put it that way.
Yes.
Let's talk about what happened next, Michaela, because it's one thing to say we're going to do it, but to implement it overnight and have a child comply at a time when, let's face it, they're not at their most compliant is quite a challenge. Firstly, how did Luca respond when you said to him no screens, when he asked for the YouTube video he was used to watching at a particular time of day and you said, no, you can't have it? Did you have pushback against it initially?
Yes. So for 3 days, we had a tantrum for about an hour.
Yeah.
Which I just stuck to my decision and I just said, no, you cannot have it. And I needed to find ways to connect with him in a meaningful way, in a way that he enjoys, so that, you know, he kind of forgets about the screen.
Yeah.
While when he's having a tantrum, I just let him have it and let it kind of wear out. And then we'd find a way to play. And I think the most important thing to note there is that I spent a lot of time with him in those moments of, you know, where he would have normally wanted to watch a screen, you know, when we came home from school. And what I did was I made sure I had loads of books available, lots of stories to listen to, which he really loves. I have a lot of open-ended toys for him to play with, blocks, things that he can create. But it's most important to note that I am there playing with him. I am there reading with him. And I think in those initial days where, you know, we took the screens away, I had to be a little bit more than I would now. About two-ish months later, I don't have to be as hands-on. I see a huge impact on his independence. He plays on his own. He can read books on his own for extended periods. And he's not reading the words. He's looking at the pictures, but he finds things around the home that he can kind of entertain himself with.
Michaela, you know, I'm listening to you and I'm hearing echoes of my own children's kindergarten teacher, who was also vehemently opposed to screen time of any sort in their younger years. And she used to say to us, it's not only about the content of what they're looking at, it's about what's going on in their brains in the act of engaging with the screen. And it's also about what they're losing out on when they're on a screen rather than doing something else. You've just mentioned such an important term, open-ended play. Jenny used to talk mm-hmm. about the gift of boredom, of allowing a child the experience of being bored and leaving them to find a solution and find something to entertain themselves. And you've just described that so beautifully in Luca's ability to now start playing independently and keeping himself busy. Tell us a little bit more about what you've observed him doing that he didn't used to do before.
Yeah, I like you say, I think parents are using technology at a time when, you know, it's to distract their children at a key learning moment time. So when you're cooking, you kind of want your child to be busy so that you can get on with it, or you're doing your washing. But what I really do is, and what, you know, makes such a difference in my child's life, is I involve him. So when I'm cooking, I say, could you peel that cucumber? You know, I give him a little job on the side.
Yeah.
Can he throw all the little scraps in the bin? Can he, when I'm doing the washing, can he press the buttons? Because he loves to press the buttons. Hmm. When I'm, you know, unpacking the dishwasher, could he put all the cutlery away? You know, little jobs that is at his level that can keep him busy, but he's with me and we're connecting at the same time, getting the job done. You know, that's that, and I'm having conversation with him all the time. So these are moments where he is really learning and we're playing. And at the same time, I'm doing the things that as a mom, I've got to get done.
Yeah. Just for anybody who's come in midway to the conversation, our guest is Michaela Beckers, who is, as you can hear, South African, although she's currently living in Poland. And she's talking to us about her and her husband's decision that they were going to stop all screen time for their son, Luca, who turns 3 tomorrow, and about the changes she observed in his behavior, in his concentration, in his ability to play and master things independently. Very appropriate, I think, to be having this conversation today, Michaela, knowing that it's World Book Day. One of the things you mentioned was how much Luca loves to sit with books and turn the pages and look at the pictures, even though he can't read yet. This is, I think, one of the crucial things that a lot of kids are losing out on, is that story time, that moment of sitting quietly paging through a static book when they're now more used to sitting watching a fast-moving YouTube video, for example. Is it something you're very aware of, not only as a parent, but as a teacher as well?
Yes, absolutely. Children need to read more. Every single day, they need to read. And I know this as a teacher. It's important for their language abilities, for their writing abilities, for, you know, just their thinking abilities. And, you know, children are having a higher, more developed language difficulties because of the lack of connection and can communication and reading with their parents. Mm. And, I think, you know, reading together every single day, it's, and what I do is I have books around my home every day. It's not neat and tidy. It's a little bit of a mess, but he can pick up a book at any time of the day, in the bathroom, next to the bed, in the living room. Books are available for him at all times.
He's a very lucky little boy. It sounds like my idea of paradise at that house.
You know what? Yeah. Another thing is that audiobooks are really excellent as well.
Yeah.
If you have, just a speaker, connect your whatever device that he can't really see or touch, but you can play audiobooks for him. And as he's playing, he can listen to stories, which is really important as well.
Yeah. Michaela, Luca's only 3, so this was an intervention that came very early on in his development. How has it changed the way you think you'll parent him as he gets older? Are you determined to stick it out with no screen time for as long as possible, or has it influenced your decision around when you will reintroduce screens at what point in his life?
I think screens are, it's part of our lives. And for example, living in China, we couldn't go about our day-to-day lives without our phones, scanning to enter the mall or scanning to pay for an item. So I think, you know, it's important to have screens that are in a meaningful way. So, for example, you can not have content, you know, being put upon your child for hours on end, let's say like YouTube videos that just go on a loop. Yeah. But instead, you know, if they do use a device, that it is, they can interact with that device in a way, and that they can, and that it's limited, and that,
okay, that they can learn from a sense of connection with the content and interaction with it.
Exactly,
I hear you.
Exactly.
Rather than it just being a sort of a one-sided absorbing content flow of info. Yeah, I mean, one of our listeners saying, easier said than done as the kids get older. Their suggestion is, why not link phones to school grades? For example, you don't get to use it for X amount of time unless your grades have reached level Y, or you've got to read a book first in order to earn some screen time, or do your homework first in order for me to unlock your phone for you. That sort of bargaining structure, what do you think of that idea? Or does that maybe set up a relationship with and a sense of prioritizing the importance of tech that might not necessarily be healthy? What do you think of that suggestion?
Well, honestly, from, you know, my child is still a toddler, so I can only speak from my experience, but I really didn't see making less of easier. In fact, I found it harder, you know, when I was taking the device away, that he would have more of a pushback. The easiest thing for me was just to go cold turkey and cut it out completely. I have a student in year three, which is a 7 year old. And, you know, he's quite addicted to his screen, and I can see the problems that he has with his attention.
Yeah.
He has problems with aggression. He has really low, poor social skills and emotional skills. And also that physical inactivity, you know, when you have a screen, you are just swiping using your palm, and you don't need to work really hard to connect and to learn. You know, in real life, things are slow and take time. And I think children don't really get the chance to learn that patience and that perseverance and that motivation with the screen.
Mm. Michaela, the million-dollar question I haven't asked you is whether you and your husband also reduced your screen time during this experiment with Luca. Because, of course, our children model what we do far more readily than they model what we tell them. Did you guys also make a conscious effort to put the phones away and not engage with them?
We have completely, you know, when we enter our home, we are not allowed devices. The only time that we really use our phones is when we call our grandparents in South Africa and in Romania. And, you know, my son gets to talk to family members, and that's the only time that we can really look at our phones. But other than that, we're not sitting and scrolling on our phones, because what you do is what your child wants to do as well.
So then I have to ask, what's the knock-on impact being for you, for the two of you and your relationship and your sense of the family in the home? Do you think it's made a change for the better in your lives as it's done for Luca?
Absolutely. We have so much more conversation around the dinner table. You know, even the smallest little things can go into such a wonderful moment to connect with each other. I think we're more in tune and more in touch with each other and how our day was and you know, what we really got up to, or just in that moment, you know, talking about what we have on our plate, or what do we feel like, or what does my son want to play with next? And I think just that daily conversation and being in tune with each other, it's so important, because with a device, even in your hand or on the table, it's a distraction. It makes you feel like the person around you is not listening to you. And I think, you know, if it's completely off and away, out of sight, you know, children feel that.
Michaela, I've so enjoyed chatting to you, and I can tell from our WhatsApp line that so many listeners are just finding resonance with what you've said. One of them being a remedial teacher, Tanya, who's just written in to say, I couldn't agree more with what your guest is saying. So many children who can't read yet in the foundation phase are spending way too much time on screens. So there's a big thumbs up from Tanya, a local primary school remedial teacher. Tanya, thanks for that comment. And Michaela, thank you for making time to chat to us today. I hope that you have a wonderful birthday celebration with Luca tomorrow. Please thank him for allowing us to steal you away for a while for an important conversation. If listeners would like to read your full blog post, are you happy with me sharing the address with them?
Yes, please do.
Absolutely. It's dreamthinkchange.wordpress.com. Michaela Becker, wonderful to have you with us this afternoon. Thanks for your time.
And thank you. Thank you very much.
Keep well.
Have a lovely day.
You too. Again, if you'd like to read the full blog post about Michaela's experience at dreamthinkchange.wordpress.com.